up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Lee.
And that's our man in the booth, Booth Man.
Booth Man.
And tonight we actually have a double-headed Booth Man.
Double-headed?
Very
exciting. Two heads for the Booth Man going on here.
I think that's Robert Kirkman over there with a regular Booth Man.
Is it? That's pretty exciting.
He called me in from the Fifth Dimension.
Oh, nice.
Ooh. Oh, cool.
Yeah. From the Fifth Dimension.
I just realized something. Booth Man, if we can somehow get another mic on stage, that would be awesome. Just set that up really quickly. Anyway, what's going on with you guys? Nothing big happening, right?
Yeah, guys, I know you guys are just playing it off like you don't have some elaborate bit planned for my birthday show.
What?
What do you mean? Oh, okay. Yeah, we have a lot of big surprises for you.
There's presents.
Prizes that you're going to give away.
Yes. There's lots of... All of your friends are here.
Yeah, guys, just because my birthday is tomorrow, you don't have to make a big deal out of it, all right?
So no problem. We won't make a big... You know what? Let's just do a regular show for the sake of...
Yeah, let's do a regular show for the
hour. I would really appreciate that.
I think the best way of celebrating the life of Pete LePage is by ignoring him as much as possible.
You make it sound like he's already dead.
He is, right?
Zoom.
What?
This is where
guys, Pete's birthday is tomorrow. Let's please all sing him a nice happy birthday.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, a one, a two, a one, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
This took a lot of planning.
Happy birthday, dear Punisher. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah!
Don't ever do that again.
Oh, my God.
Man, 37.
Well, yeah.
Going to be...
There's 2 months of planning down the drain.
The truth,
off by 1 year.
Guys, I'm very excited about the guest that we have on the show tonight. One is the host of the excellent variety show, Tell Your Friends. The other one is the writer of Image's upcoming title, Great Pacific. Ladies and gentlemen, Liam McAdeedy and Joe Harris!
Yeah!
Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. It's an exciting time. It's here. Joe, is your mic on? Yeah.
Hell yeah.
There we go. So, Joe, let's chat about Great Pacific a little bit, which is coming out from Image Comics.
In November.
First and issue. So the idea of it is, well, I know the idea, but you tell the idea.
Well, it's I always, when I tell people this, I always start by asking if you ever heard of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. Do you know what that is?
I know what that is because I listen to NPR.
Do you know what that is? You don't have to listen to NPR to know it, but
that's what we call Los Angeles. Just
here on the East Coast.
Well, the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, and long story short, is this environmental disaster that's going on out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. It's this soupy mess of plastic and debris that's trapped by a convergence of ocean currents, and no one's doing anything about it. And as of today, scientists estimate that this field of junk is about twice the size of Texas.
Wow.
And but that's not really what this book is about. That's just sort of the backstory.
that's your opener?
That's the factoid that gives birth to this thing.
Just to put it in some perspective, we have something like this on the East Coast called Jersey Shore.
That's true. That's the sequel to the book.
A lot of geographic.
Yeah. So in Great Pacific, a guy, a rich billionaire playboy, basically declares it a sovereign state.
Right? Yeah. I mean, well, basically we've got this character who he's the heir to one of the oldest and richest Texas oil fortunes in history. His grandfather ostensibly more or less founded the equivalent of Shell Oil. And as a result, this guy is due to inherit control of the company when he turns 21. His father's recently died, and the board of directors is freaking out because this guy named Chaz, essentially, he lives the lifestyle that Bruce Wayne pretends to lead so that no one thinks he's Batman. He basically, you know, he crashes fast cars, he chases faster women. He does
women are fast.
Faster than cars?
Yeah, women are super fast, dude.
You know Batman always trying to have sex with jaguars.
Yeah. Fast.
Yep.
Jaguar. He's like an angry dog.
Come back, women.
It's true. Well, you know, as a result, Nobody knows what this guy is really all about, though. They all think he's gossip column material. They think he's never going to amount to anything, and they're all shitting their pants thinking he's going to run this company into the ground when he turns 21. But what he basically ends up doing is throwing it all away, and he heads out to this thing floating out in the middle of the ocean, which is, you know, we've taken some liberties with this thing. We've made it this... this wondrous, disgusting landscape of trash with mountains of plastic and debris going back decades.
Did you visit it at all?
No.
There's not a lot of boats that go there.
I've never been to the middle of the Pacific
really
Ocean.
But I autumn.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's nice. Fall air.
I think you're thinking of the Berkshires.
Did you go on a trip recently? You have a lot of very geographic-based anecdotes.
So he moves out there, he declares it a sovereign state,
he plants
and then
a flag,
some other
declares
stuff
it a,
happens.
A sovereign state, and he's got to deal with all sorts of threats. He's got to deal with the elements, because out in the middle of the ocean you have to deal with typhoons and other sorts of weather events. You've got, because of all the pollution, there are these mutated sea creatures that he ends up having
boy.
To fend off.
He's saw that coming.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
This story rooted in
I'm
reality. Gonna,
I'm just
going
to put this down. Should we talk about something else?
I bet there are going to be mutated sea creatures in here.
Yeah. Well, you let us read an advanced copy of it, and I will say I thought it was really cool, really interesting, fun protagonist, and great twist throughout. I thought you did a great job with the cliffhangers at the end of every issue. Is this an ongoing or is it a miniseries?
Yeah, right, it's going to be an ongoing. Okay. Like I said, issue one ships in November. We announced it at Comic-Con last week. Mm-hmm. Was that last week? I'm in a bubble. It was like a week and a half
ago. I have no idea.
Right? It's, I don't remember.
Yeah, what I really liked about it is it's a great story on its own, but then, you know, the fact that it's based on something true and fucked up makes it that much better. So
that's I try to apply that philosophy to most things.
Yeah. So. I base your life around something super fucked up. Yeah.
Indeed.
Now, do you feel like... I mean, this is such a stupid question, but do you feel like there is...
I can't wait. Great. I can't wait to hear.
That's what Morley Safer says right before he asks the big one.
Does he?
Yep.
It's like, this is so stupid. Do you like sandwiches?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Sir,
clearly there's a bit of an underlying or overlying environmental message going on there. Do you have any thoughts, or is it more about the adventure and the big political ideas?
Well, personally, sure, I'm disturbed that this exists, and it was... You know, learning about this, that obviously being disgusted and being horrified that no one's cleaning this mess up did, you know, give birth to the idea that led to this book. But I didn't want to be so on the nose, you know, so our character is not what you might be thinking. I think people would probably expect a character like this to be sort of like a Greenpeace or, you know, somebody who's super environmentalist. And
Captain
he's,
Planet.
Yeah, no, that's not
but,
where this... That's,
what's
that
nice
doesn't
is
interest
his name
so
is
much.
Chaz, so it really kind of...
Chaz Planet.
his Captain Planet's son does what he wants.
He's a real 90s kind of guy.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Booth, man.
Yeah, I know.
That's why they're doing this.
Let's talk about another title that you are working on or kind of were working on, Firestorm. Mm-hmm. So you were writing Firestorm for DC. A lot of people were surprised that you were off the title after the number zero issue, and now Jan Jurgens is writing it.
Right.
But we were talking a little bit before the show. Right. There's no real conspiracy there.
No.
What exactly happened behind the scenes?
Well, I was finished with my run. I had come on at issue seven, I think, with Ethan Van Sciver, and I were plotting it together. After Gail had left the book. And it had sort of reached its end. I was sort of... we knew we were going to run this... we were going to wind this down around issue 12. And then we, you know, learned we were going to... Everyone was going to do a zero issue. So my run was extended by that point. And I think after that... You know, I was pretty much finished. And they had some plans for the character beyond what... you know, the scope of what I was brought in to do. And I think whatever, you know, what Dan was wrapping up Justice League International, I think it made sense for them to move him onto it. So that's pretty much what happened.
I know you came in essentially halfway through, but what's it like writing for DC right now with the new 52 going on? What are the good parts?
The new logo.
Of...
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's the logo that's very exciting.
It must be so exciting to be underneath that logo. Ooh. I mean, when I saw Batman, that logo appeared on the screen. I almost walked out.
When it peeled down, I got excited.
When that metal logo peeled down, I was like, they know what they're doing.
It's like they designed it just because they knew that movie was coming out this summer. I know.
Yeah.
It is funny. All the cool, like, syncope, legendary, and then the DC's like, I'm sorry. And then the movie starts.
It's exciting. It's kind of frenzied. I mean, there's a lot of interesting stuff coming out. They're trying lots of different things. I'm just happy to be a part of it wherever I fit in, you know. So, I mean, you know, the industry has challenges. So whenever people, you know, are willing to reshuffle the deck, I find that exciting. And I've liked a lot of the stuff that's come out of the company over this past year. So I was just, you know, really happy to be brought in to work on it.
Cool.
That's awesome.
All right, great. Liam, let's turn to you for a second. You were talking.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
There you go. Yeah, take a moment.
On the show.
I know I'm too cool to be on this show. I understand.
Yeah.
That.
Who told you that?
You can't see me at home. I'm like 7 feet and I'm blonde and I don't have glasses.
If you're all that, I'm just
gonna, really nice.
I'm just going to say, if you're going to start off with you being cool, don't start with 7 feet tall.
That's freakishly tall.
I look like a bodybuilder.
7 feet tall.
I'm as cool as Peter Mayhew.
Very cool.
I got four legs like a cool guy does.
I'm 7 foot tall, really weak bones. Yeah. My heart's failing.
Basically, I'm like a human bird. I'm way too cool to be on the stage.
So you were telling me about, I've completely blacked out the name, but these conventions.
Well, I really do, like, it's funny because I do feel like old man nerd culture sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Yeah. That makes sense.
I went to the New York Comic Con. I used to go to, like, you know, just science fiction conventions back when, like, Forbidden Planet actually had prose books in stock.
Wow.
And, like, the comic books were relegated to one just small area. Like, you know, back in the old location on Broadway, like 2 feet away from where it is now.
Again, more geography. I love it.
You know, I went to the New York Comic Con last summer or last fall, whatever it was, and there are all these like really beautiful women in skin tight comic book outfits, and I was like,
what the fuck?
I was like, that is nothing, dude. When I was 13 and I went to these like old Creation conventions. It's like there were two women and they both look like me. That's
so I mean, 7 feet tall.
Seven feet tall.
Bird ladies.
And they were like, help us! Help!
They were just dunking on each other.
Yeah. You just described your greatest sexual fantasy. Two super tall women just jamming basketballs over each other's heads. Cool, yeah. She's warming up.
It is your birthday. So you have a special surprise for you.
Happy, yeah. Sophia, Margaret, come out here.
They can't. They're too tall. They couldn't fit through the door. Yeah.
Help us.
So you're at these Creation conventions.
These are the old Creation science fiction conventions.
What does that even mean? Am I just crazy asking the question?
It was just a brand name. I mean, it was
old
just, you know, it's like Creation was this company that would put on conventions all over the country. You know, it is mostly focused. Like they had a Klingon embassy, which was just basically a conference room with a bunch of fat dudes in Klingon outfits,
sweet,
just kind of talking to each other,
over diplomacy.
Oh yeah, no, they were hammering out treaties
with imaginary other people,
with other Klingons.
They weren't there.
No, they were.
What are you talking about,
Justin?
I said that they're Klingons hammering out treaties with other Klingons that weren't there.
No, like, I mean, there's all
there's
Klingons
a bunch of Klingons
hanging out
in there.
Yeah.
There's nothing but Klingons.
But
do you know how an embassy works?
Yeah, but usually everyone at an embassy is like, we're all on the same team here.
Let's make
a treaty with some other.
No, it's like
you've been through a lot of embassies, right?
I've been to the Klingon embassy. I actually, I'm an expat.
Yes. We're all on the same team here. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Thank you very much. That's my Klingon.
Great. It's a lot of very similar to some of your other impressions. Yeah. Is that an old Jewish Klingon from the Borscht Belt?
Yep. That's in the Forbidden Zone.
Yeah. I don't know what that means.
I'm really getting hammered with these questions. I'm getting a real Frost Nixon vibe off of this.
If we could compare it to both Frost and Nixon a lot.
I would watch. I've never seen Frost Nixon, but I would watch it if either one of them was a Klingon.
Interesting.
There will be no peace as long as Kirk lives.
Well done, sir.
All right,
well done.
Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah!
All right, in The Stack, we've each made a pick, some comic book we didn't think we'd like this week, and we're going to bat for it. First pick we're going to make is Pete's pick, which is BPRD, Hell on Earth, The Devil's Engine, number 3 of 3. by Dark Horse Comics, from the pages of Hellboy, by Mick Mignola, John Arcudi, Tyler Crook, Dave Stewart.
What, do we read the whole comic?
Are you going to read it all to us now? What's going on? Is this story
it's
time?
It's a very long title.
It's not that long. I mean, BPRD is, you know, it's short.
Yeah, well, and it could be longer because that's an acronym.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
So what you like about this book, Pete?
Well, what was nice is this is a little just kind of a three-part miniseries. BPRD is fantastic.
Is it as long as the title?
No. Oh. No.
But, don't be mean.
I can't see this is a fun, jokes are landing.
This is this is a fun series. Not fun, like lighthearted, but just a cool idea and really well done.
Can I interject for a second?
Recap what's going on?
No. Just very quickly. So in the BPRD Hellboy universe, essentially we're kind of in a post-apocalypse scenario. Monsters attack the Earth. Volcanoes are exploding cities.
Hellboy
things like that.
Dead.
And the world is trying to continue on. In this, one of the members of the BPRD is trying to take a girl who has psychic abilities back to BPRD so they can find out if they can sort of turn the tide on things. When this happens, they get stuck in a train by three gigantic monsters who want to eat them.
Right. That's classic scenario.
Yeah. They don't get along.
That's
they
why
end
I don't
up
travel
there.
By train.
They end up maybe getting
she doesn't see the future, Alex. She just has feelings about things, all right?
Oh, so. me too.
Just like a woman. Am I right?
Well, oh, boy.
What? I don't know. Trying out some new material.
So you like this book. What did you like about this book?
I just thought it was a cool, fun idea. Instead of it, you know, always being like, you know, BPRD going to investigate some monster stuff. Here we have kind of like them trying to get a psychic or someone who can have feelings about what's going on. And the, you know, it's the bad guys trying to get her as well as the good guys. So it's kind of this...
struggle between good and evil.
Yeah. But it's also a really touching story that wraps up really well.
Yep.
Yeah. What did you think about this book, Justin?
I'm a little. I usually read a lot of the BPRD series. I didn't pick this one.
Because it's amazing.
It's very good, but I'm a little. It's very disorganized to me. Like,
well, because you're reading three of three and you haven't read one of them.
No, but in general, I feel like, yes, all this bad stuff happened, and now it's like this one goes this way, this one goes another way. Like, what is the devil's engine?
It's exactly. The train.
I think you are the devil's engine.
that makes a lot more sense now.
I will say I agree with you. BPRD, pretty much great across the board. What they're doing with the title is excellent. The fact that they're actually pushing things, breaking things.
They're taking trains, and that's a great...
Yeah, I love trains. I love trains since I was a little boy.
Yeah.
And so I love this book, The End. No, the thing that I think...
Did I derail you?
Oh! That's pretty good. That's our show!
Forever!
Yeah.
I will say it's a little all over the place. You know, the way the BPRD works is they are miniseries, but essentially they're just kind of a continuing series.
Yeah. So you're saying it gets off track.
No, it was good. See, I thought he was going to say that, but then you did.
Yeah. I think we could probably end there. Move to the next title.
We'll stop.
Let's talk about Justin's pick, which was Wonder Woman number 11 from DC Comics.
Yeah.
So, Justin, you've proved that you hate women for some reason during the show.
No, I do
not.
What
do you think about this?
I love this book. This book is not really a superhero book anymore. It's sort of like mythology 101 with a little bit of punching here and there.
Yeah, but the way you say it doesn't sound like it's good. It's great.
It's really very good.
Yeah, it's well done in that aspect.
It's not a community college course.
You don't have to write a paper.
There's just as much punching as a community college course.
Yeah.
Shit.
I'm just, is there as much wonder in the series as there used to be?
There's more woman than wonder.
Oh, okay.
Woohoo!
Cool. This is a great series written by Brian Azzarello. Cliff Chiang is back on art this issue, which is very exciting. Not that I didn't like the art on the past couple issues, very good, but Cliff Chiang gets this character in the series like nobody else.
It's so crisp.
Makes Wonder Woman look like no other character ever.
Wonder Woman's wearing such a nice coat through a huge portion of this that she takes off to fight some people.
You know what I love about comics? Like, no matter how sophisticated the art gets and the storytelling gets, you still have these crazy sound effects that are just written out, like crash and boom. There's just certain things that just like... The art is like, you know, like it's for adults, but there's still that like three-year-old kind of like boom, crash sound effect kind of thing just written out.
It gets me every time.
It does. It's exciting.
Do you get scared when it happens?
I do a lot of times, and I'll scream for my little teddy bear and blanket.
Yeah. Joe, I'm curious, as somebody who's written a lot of comic books, what's your thought on sound effects and how do you approach them?
I like them in general. Some people don't. I mean, oh, sorry. Some people don't like them. I know some people would. Some people don't like to put sound effects over things you're actually seeing. But for me, it's, I don't know, the way the text moves across the page. It fits in with how I look at the beginning and middle and end of a page. So. Mm-hmm. I try to find imaginative ones. I tend to go back and look at my, you know, old Walt Simonson books and Frank Miller books, and they were two of the best at just coming up with amazing sound effects. So sometimes I'll lose hours looking for the right research. You know,
gesticulate.
Points.
Yeah. There's actually, not to undercut your joke, but there's a book called Skull Kickers. We had a guy named Jim Zub who writes it on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he does sound effects like that in his book. Where people will say, like, pointing or pie in the face will be a sound
better
effect.
Better than when Greg Pak and Fred Van Lente went on that sweet run of just...
No, those were great sound effects, too. They were awesome.
Okay.
Just watch yourself. Sounds are great.
Just sounds just, you know, I mean, why? Gee, you know.
Everyone
all writing. The time with the Skull Kickers. Skull Kickers is
all
amazing.
All the time all with the Skull Kickers. Yeah, on and on.
Yeah. Every time I mention Skull Kickers, I get 5 cents.
Oh,
yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. You get the sub nickel. Yeah. Get sent your way.
Sub nickel.
I'm going to say I've never seen a picture of an explosion and said, like, I wonder what that sounds like. Like, I, you know, like, that's kind of thing. Like, you
how
know.
Many explosions have you been around?
I've been around a lot.
Hello.
I'm kind of.
Really?
I'm kind of an arsonist professionally.
Oh.
We can't always take that for granted.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you don't want to assume your entire audience is arsonists.
Yeah. Oh, well, a lot of times DC will get everybody together, all their fans, and be like, guys, here's an explosion. And then they'll do one just to keep everybody on the same page. What happened?
Well, no, I was just, there was a bunch of sweet action sequences. Speaking
move.
Of the crash and booms that...
That's right, you can let people read it at home.
Well, that's true. I can, but I just...
We promoted the book. Yeah. People can go pick it up.
Okay. It's all right.
We have our stuff.
It's okay, Pete.
Sorry, I wanted to be specific about something. I apologize.
That's not your job on this show.
And that was the second birthday
the
present. He's giving you shit for that.
All right, let's move on with my pick, which was Journey into Mystery, number 641.
Man!
From Marvel Comics.
You wouldn't believe it by the number, but this is a very fresh book.
Yes, it is, actually. This is one of the best books, not just Marvel is putting out, but one of the best comic books being put out, period. It's written by Kieran Gillen. The focus of the book is Loki, Thor's brother, half-brother, has been turned into a kid. Mm-hmm. And the whole arc of the book is him knowing that someday he's going to turn out to be evil again. Yeah. And everybody talking to him and saying, Loki, you're going to be evil someday. But along that path, he does not want to be evil. He's fighting it with every breath in his body. And here, we get a major turning point. He's had this friend... who's a kid version of Hela, the goddess of death, that they've been palling around. Some sad stuff happens in this issue. It's really emotional, really beautiful, has a wonderful little tie-up, and it really pushes him along this path and this journey, and you feel it more because he's trying so hard to be good.
Yeah.
It's that kid who's a bad kid who's trying so hard to be good, and you feel so much more for him when he doesn't quite hit that mark.
The second page in this has an amazing panel of them just like...
The Amazing Spider-Man gay man?
That's unrelated to the story. It's Stonehenge blowing up, and it's like really just a powerful panel. It's really cool.
Stonehenge?
Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you guys think about this book?
I love this book. I'm a big fan. I've been reading it for a long time. It's so, like you're saying, it's so good. The characters are so like full and believable. It's also so fun. Like there are a lot of jokes in it.
Yeah,
it's
a little
amazing.
V for Vendetta joke.
In this issue, they're blowing up magical landmarks in London because there's this. This is too complicated.
With no sound effects. I don't know what it sounds like.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. They don't have any sound effects.
You let
that's
it live
this
in
is
your
a very
brain.
Adult book.
Well,
this is
I
a book
took.
For you,
I replaced it with. That's the Arsonist publication of the comic.
I just keep imagining the Arsonist
variant.
Meow, meow.
Yeah, most explosions meow, meow, sound meow. Like that, so that's probably fine. But yeah, they're blowing up magical landmarks, and Loki says, come on, we got to do this the right way, and so they put on their V for Vendetta masks.
Reference.
Yeah, there you go. Great book. Definitely put it up, pick it up, and that's it for the stack. All right, guys, we are going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section, because you guys made it up. It's your audience questions. For that, we're going to go over to Two-Headed Boothman.
Boothman!
Hello. This one's actually credited by Nolan, so either we have the director or the baseball player.
Ooh.
Yeah, Nolan Ryan's a huge fan of our show.
Why isn't there a sound like Batman, like Bane app?
a sound like Bainam.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Here's something that I found out the other day. It was bothering me in the back of my head what Bane sounded like, mm-hmm. like what his voice was,
right.
because it was so familiar and it was just grating at me. And I sat and I thought and I thought. And I realized he sounds like a much deeper, echoey Mike Myers from Sprockets. On
oh, yeah. I get that.
Yep. So there you go. So I took just to
touch
check it out.
Touch my monkey?
Yeah. Would you like to touch my monkey?
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's your best voice you've done.
Happy birthday, Pete.
That's a gift you can hold on
yeah,
to.
Yeah, but I agree. You guys think there should be a Bane Sound Like Bane app?
I think there's really, it's not like you need it, but it sounds like that guy is going to make $1 trillion in the next, if he can get it up. You
know, they need to tomorrow. Get it out in the next, like, week.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say. I feel like Bane voice is going to die down in about a couple months.
Yeah.
As a thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It probably will.
I just got my.
That was not as good. I'll just stop.
It was pretty good.
Yeah?
No.
It probably will.
He has that lilt at the end.
Yeah, he always is like, I'm a song and dance man, also.
I lost so much money on my Heath Ledger as Joker sound alike app.
Yeah. Did you? Yeah, just Sylvester the Cat. Let's put a smile on that face of yours. Wow.
What,
is
this
your voiceover audition?
Yeah, are you,
what's going on?
Yeah.
There's an agent in the audience, so I'm just trying out. I got a couple of things.
Great. I think they've already cast those two roles. But
you never know.
You never know.
Yeah, we'll see what
that
happens.
Sylvester the Cat reboot.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Waffles or pancakes?
Great question.
Great comic book based question.
Those are comic book characters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Waffles, who would win in a fight, right? Waffles or pancakes? Do you guys have any thoughts?
A food fight? Yo, cool it. Cool it.
What kind of waffles
man.
Are we talking about?
What kind of waffles?
Yeah,
whatever kind of waffles you want, baby.
Like, you know, there's the
is that creepy?
There's your Belgian yeah. waffle, but okay. then there's, you know, your sticky
your Eggo.
Yeah, well, no, like a waffle iron waffle. I'd take over pancakes any day.
You know what's awesome about a Belgian waffle is it really is just an excuse to pile all kinds of dessert shit and call it breakfast.
Yeah.
You know,
I think like, that's why waffle wins. It's got the holes for holding stuff.
Like I really think fundamentally
holding stuff.
Yep.
Like, oh, I'll put a marble in this one.
Yeah.
And then a bird feather in this one. And
I have to say, game, you can play that on a waffle.
Yeah, it's
that's
quite,
also
it's
why girls are awesome. Just I want to put that out there.
Oh, nice. Really female friendly show.
I think we've done a pretty successful job, one lady in the audience.
Whoa.
Let's point her out.
Yeah.
Thank you
nice
for coming
job.
To the show.
Yeah. Oh, good. That'll fix
we
it.
We will never see her again.
That'll repair the damage.
Yeah.
Guys,
waffles.
I was so in there.
Waffles? Are we all in agreement on waffles?
Waffles.
Marbles won, I think. Marbles?
Marbles.
Marbles.
Yeah, in the eternal battle between waffles and pancakes, marbles has won.
Yeah.
There you go. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Which superhero could best have a shot as a stand-up comedian?
Huh. Great question. That was your life draining from your body. Oh, God.
I died.
Why?
Deadpool? I mean, that's my first thought, I guess.
Right. Well, that's sort of his whole shtick.
You know, probably actually Spider-Man. I bet Spider-Man would be... Peter Parker would be way more successful at being a stand-up comedian than anything else.
I mean, he's the Seinfeld of the superhero world.
Yeah,
it's
well,
very
he's
observational.
Always whining and complaining about everything.
It's very
he
in
makes
the
jokes and always cracking jokes. He has no self-confidence whatsoever. He could get that out really well on stage.
I would say it's probably going to be Punisher, just because he's already thoroughly miserable as a person.
Nice. He's got the misery angle covered.
He's got the misery. I feel like there's just something inside Punisher that needs to lighten up a little bit. I feel like it might be
Punisher. I actually had an idea. Pete, I wanted to run this by you. I had this earlier today.
This ought to be good.
Yeah, I was thinking about Punisher, and I was thinking instead of what he did, wouldn't it be more interesting if after he was
Let
on
me
that...
just say no.
He was on that picnic
wouldn't
with his family.
Wouldn't it be more interesting?
Yeah, on that picnic with his family, and his whole family got killed. What if, as vengeance, he dressed up as a giant ant and went around ruining other mobsters' picnics?
That's really brutal.
What would you think about that?
Yay!
Right? Thank you.
I think that you're a sociopath.
Like, how? Like, as an ant, he's, like, knocking over picnic baskets?
Yeah.
For you to consider that the Punisher's family getting killed at a picnic to be like, man, that picnic was ruined.
What if he threatens, Hank Pym?
That chicken sandwich went
bad. What if that was his takeaway?
Ah, it's true, I guess.
I just want him to run up people's legs.
Yeah. Yeah, the real ant attack is running up someone's leg. Because if that ant gets to your butthole... The ant has won.
That's where the new anthill will be created.
Is that where the ants are running to?
Yeah.
What just happened?
That's that's what they did for the cereal.
You know, excuse me?
Cereal?
What cereal?
Buttholes. Sure. Where that ant's like, I want to get me some of them sweet buttholes.
Calling them butthholes is overkill.
Can we just stop this and move on, please?
Huh? We're answering the question, what would a butthole cereal be like?
The question that America wants. Oh, what was it again?
I don't even remember what it was.
Do you guys remember the question?
Stand-up comedian.
Any thoughts, Joe, on who would be a good stand-up comedian? Superhero?
Bizarro, maybe? Or Solomon Grundy? Just
Solomon Grundy would be amazing. Yeah. That would be amazing.
Let him deal.
Yeah, let me see.
Who am Ad Wizard who come up with this one?
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah, that's pretty good. All right, raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Nice.
That was Boothbad. Boothbad 2, the sequel to Boothbad.
What would you do to get Christopher Nolan to direct a Punisher or Wolverine movie?
Oh, what would you do? Definitely for Pete.
Yeah. What would you do to get Chris Nolan to do? Do we want him to direct a Wolverine or Punisher movie?
It would get real complicated.
Yeah. Wolverine would be like, well, before I pop my claws, let me explain how that happens.
Yeah.
For the next hour.
Right. You'd start with an adamantium mine in space, then a space shuttle would launch cables onto the moon and pick up the moon, flip it over, find the adamantium, send it to Earth. Then there's a boy, and this starts three centuries ago. And a boy, he grows to be a man, and he has a son, and he grows to be a man, and then Wolverine's born. And you learn a lot about all these other people.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And this is the plot of the Punisher movie.
Yeah. But it's going to get to the Punisher in a minute. But first you have to get to the Prestige.
Pete, what do you think? What would you do to get Chris Nolan to direct Wolverine or Punisher?
Well, you
he's here.
See Nolan.
See Knowles.
See Knowles.
You guys know Chris, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We all know Chris. Sure.
Absolutely.
I'd ask him nicely, and if not, I would hold a gun to his head. What do you want me to say here?
No, that's about what I expected.
Cool. You would have to hold that gun for like 6 months during pre-production.
I could do it. I could do it. If it meant a good Punisher movie, I would make that sacrifice.
Dude, start working on their upper arm strength.
Yeah. Well, Chris, can you hurry up pre-production? My arm's getting sore.
We're going to talk.
We don't need him because Dirty Laundry is the start of something.
Yeah.
And we're going to get another Punisher movie. It's going to be amazing.
For those of you who don't know, we talked about this a little last time. Thomas J. had did a fan film called Dirty Laundry.
It was a fantastic film.
No, fan is not short for fantastic.
I don't know. PPRD is short for stuff.
Yeah, but fan is not short for fantastic in this sense. Okay.
To hear from you guys, other than Wolverine or Punisher, is there a superhero or comic book property you would want to see Christopher Nolan tackle next? Pacific, maybe?
Yeah, sure. That's the rights are available. Yeah.
Nice.
Cool.
I want to see a grim Peter Porker the Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Just like gritty reboot of the franchise.
Right. Porker Begins.
Porker.
Eventually we're going to mark the beginning of our weeks with Spider-Man reboots. So we'll know.
They're going to replace Monday.
Exactly.
Like,
it's reboot day.
I hate
reboot. How many spiders are there now in the room? That's
cool.
Good.
Great. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Right. That's it for our free comics, right? Do we have any more questions? Two more questions? Let's hit them.
If Bruce Wayne were real, what do you think he'd
whoa,
be?
Whoa. Slow down.
What do you think he would really do instead of becoming Batman?
He'd be a dick. he'd be an older dick.
He'd be in a lot of therapy and I'm really
messed
up.
There's probably a good chance he would dress as a giant ant and ruin a bunch of mobsters' picnics. What do you guys think?
Good
I think we could all agree with that.
Yeah, I think we can all agree with Alex Alvin's butthole cereal.
Stop.
Is that the full
Let's
name?
Pretend that didn't happen.
Alex Alvin's buttholes.
I gotta get me some of them sweet buttholes.
Cookie crook.
So after
Ann,
me, Lucky
and
Charms.
Ann Cookie Crook? Okay, wait, well, this is a serious question. If Bruce Wayne, Batman, were real.
Right.
What would he do for a living or like on the weekends?
What would he do? Would
Instead
he become
of being
Batman,
Batman
what else
what,
would he do?
What would really would have happened?
Okay. I'm going to stick with my answer of him just being a dick. That's what I think. He would just be like a wealthy, like angry man.
Yeah. I think that's fair. Let's get the next question.
What Batman are you most like? Bale, West, Clooney, Keaton, Kilmore? Kilmore. That's
Kilmore.
Kilmer, Conroy.
Oh, that's oh, awesome.
Is there, which of those Batmans is crying, weeping in a corner while people do horrible things?
You.
Yeah,
that's you,
Batman.
That's
you, yeah.
That's a great question.
Was Christian Bale the Batman that met Scooby-Doo in the gang? Was that...
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, yeah, the that's probably one. Who I would be. With that's
cool. Joe, which Scooby Batman? Snacks.
Turns out
this isn't an endorsement of his Batman, but I'd go with Clooney just because.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, you could have a career afterwards.
Yeah,
which is nice.
You can't see it at home, but Mr. Harris's nipples are very perky. Right now.
Yeah, true. They're coming through his costume. Nipple
rep. What about you guys? Any thoughts,
Pete?
Conroy, definitely.
Really?
Yeah.
What about you connects with the Kevin Conroy Batman?
I'm all voice, no body.
Cheers. You take a break?
Enjoy
you take
beverage.
A break after that one? For those of you, oh, Pete just leaned back in his chair and sipped his beer like he'd done his day's work as he finished that line.
Justin, what about you?
Adam West.
Yeah?
Yep. Okay, I'm the kind of guy that goes surfing and brings shark repellent.
There you go. All right, that's it for
Did
your
you
audience.
Did you answer? Oh, buttholes. Oh, yeah, gotcha.
Buttholes. There you go.
Great answer.
All right, that's it for your audience question. Thank you, Boothman.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Big week.
Okay, it has been a big week. Big thing we're going to talk about. First thing we're going to talk about, Dark Knight Rises. Now, I should mention, before the show, usually we actually talk about the show, figure out what we're going to talk about, kind of check on each other's opinions. We all made an agreement not to talk about what we thought about Dark Knight Rises until we talked about it on stage.
Right.
So, what
did you guys think? Count of three.
What
did you guys think?
Who's going first?
You.
All right. I thought it was a solid film. I thought it really wrapped up everything nicely. I really enjoyed it, and it was. I also liked the kind of whodunit aspect, the kind of twists a little bit.
There were some good twists.
Yeah, and I thought that was really cool. I also thought it was really powerful to see that big like cops versus bad guys, where like the cops were rushing, like the cops were the protesters, and they were on the other side of the barricade. I thought that was really powerful and kind of crazy. I was happy with it. It was definitely a thinker for me, where I walked. I wasn't immediately when the credits rolled like that was amazing, but like after the movie, as time went on, I was like, I gotta see this again.
As time went on.
Yeah,
Justin, what about you?
I thought great twist, great ending, a lot of goofy parts. Where I was like, oh, that doesn't make much sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was goofy?
I feel like we'll get into spoilers in a second, but I think it's like it's Nolan's Return of the Jedi. It's like the last movie was better. This one's a little too big and a little too crazy, and the cops are Ewoks, sort of, in a lot of ways. It's like, those cops look so goofy.
They didn't do a song at the end.
I want to do, this is giving away a good idea, I want to do a re-edit. I want to do a re-edit when we have, just wait a second. I want to do a re-edit when we have the footage of the last 10 minutes of scenes with the Lub Nub song going underneath it, because that's what I think it is.
Yeah. And then we'll replace Christian Bale with someone else.
Yeah.
Right, someone younger. Hayden Christensen, just do it.
Perfect.
I will say I loved it. I thought it was great.
Loved it, perfect.
No, not perfect.
Perfect movie, nothing
No
better.
Faults whatsoever, yep.
But you love John Carter.
Yes, I do love John Carter.
You called it This Generation's Star Wars,
I remember. Bullshit.
Well, you just called Dark Knight Rises This Generation's Return of the Jedi.
But it's sort of as an insult. Think about that.
Oh, all right. Fair point. Okay, well, I loved Dark Knight Rises. I thought it was fantastic. I had a giddy smile on my face pretty much the entire time.
What? Such a bleak, sad movie.
Do you know why I liked it so much? It felt to me like the most comic booky of all of Nolan's
Batman movies.
I agree
with you. We got a fight on the roof with Catwoman.
I thought that was great. There were so many shout-outs. He's been so avoiding doing comic book stuff pretty much throughout. And it's worked. He's done his own take on it. But here, it almost straight up felt like actual comic book Batman.
Yeah,
to me, and I thought that was fantastic. It felt like the entire movie and the plot of it felt like this was a lost '90s Batman crossover.
I felt the same way, that it was very comic booky, especially like all the stuff with basically the No Man's Land stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, and it didn't quite work on film. I thought a lot of it
was great.
I was nervous about Bane and Catwoman going in. I thought they really did a great job. And Bane's voice was amazing. Like, just the way it echoed and kind of stayed with you, like you were saying before, was really cool.
Though hard to hear at points.
Well, sure. But that's, you know, that sometimes happens in life. Yeah.
Great. It's a great point.
Yeah.
That's the real lesson of the
Which
movie.
Which brings me my next point.
Sometimes you pay $15 to not enjoy something.
Yeah.
Or $20.
Did you guys, have you seen Dark Knight Rises yet?
I loved it.
You loved it?
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah, talk about you.
Well, you know,
company man.
You know, there were those moments when you're watching the movie and you don't quite know what's going on, but you love it anyway. And I felt that way through the trilogy at different points. Just amazed. I don't know. When he's fighting with Catwoman, like you said, the comic booky aspects of it combined. You know, at some point, then they're in a pit prison. I don't really know where that is, but I'm still enjoying it. And, I loved it. I went to a 6 a.m. screening at City Walk. I went to, you know, if you don't see it in IMAX, you're doing it wrong. That's how I feel about all Chris Nolan's movies.
And a real IMAX, you got to see it.
Right? You got to go to a real IMAX screen, you know, like 20 feet pit, you know, perched on the edge of a cliff. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw 6:30 a.m. on Sunday at the Lincoln Square, which is the only real IMAX.
It's the only one in the city.
I got there at 4:45 in the morning. There were already 50 people waiting online.
See, I saw it in California. I went to Universal City and reserved seating. And I didn't know it was reserved seating until the night before, and I was getting like you, like maybe do I have to get there at 4 o'clock in the morning? No.
Yeah, that's what I should have done. I should have gotten tickets.
You should have gone to California.
California, flew there.
Yeah,
gone to see it, and then it would have been.
Could have flown the other way around the Earth and gotten there the day before.
Right, turn back time.
Yeah, that works, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw it in a Superman movie.
Here's the deal.
I also
don't want to see it. I haven't seen it. I only want to see it in IMAX.
It's actually playing right now.
Yeah, I know.
You can see it.
But here's the thing. IMAX tickets a little bit hard to get.
True.
I saw you posted that, you know, I'm friends with Alex on Facebook.
Wow. Yeah.
Get out.
Our guest is supposed to be arbitrary.
Get a room, guys.
We're not friends in real life. We're just friends on Facebook. Don't worry.
Just on Facebook.
But I saw the 6:30 a.m. tickets. I saw The Dark Knight in IMAX at 2:30 in the morning. At 2:30 screening was the only ticket I could get when it first came out.
That's more late than early.
Well, the thing is, I walked out. It is when you walk out of a movie at 5 in the morning and you're like, I just can't do this. I'm too old.
You're like, what happened to my life?
I can't see Dark Knight Rises not in IMAX because The Dark Knight was such an amazing experience.
Yeah.
Just like Watchmen was an amazing experience. You should only see it in IMAX.
Yeah.
You get the boredom.
They
actually
show Watchmen in IMAX. They haven't released it on video or anything like that. It's only in IMAX.
And definitely not on cinema.
Can we talk about spoilers a little bit? Is that okay?
Well, you guys are cool.
Yeah, I know probably some of you haven't seen it. If you're listening at home, you may not have seen it, so everybody earmuffs. But let's talk about spoilers a little bit and stuff that happened in the movie.
Yeah. All right. One of my favorite parts was when Bane was like, oh, you want to play in the dark? I was bored in the dark, and then just grabbed somebody.
That's not a spoiler, but that was a good.
That spoiler. Was the amazing part. Like that was just like
it's
such.
Not at all a spoiler.
Well, it spoils it if you haven't seen it. Like
great. Now I know Batman and Bane fight each other. How can I enjoy the movie?
Ruined.
Are you okay with spoilers?
Yeah, I'll go to the spoiler booth.
All right, let's chat about the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
The last scene of the movie. Seriously.
You mean it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, first, let's talk about the twist, which I thought was awesome and caught me by surprise.
Really?
I didn't see
that coming?
I didn't.
You
I was
read comic books.
I know. And
You've
when
seen
I
the story.
When I. When I. No, not really.
Well.
When I saw. When I found out who the woman was, I was like, oh, I made a noise. Like, I should have known that.
Yeah.
But it was so cool because it was the Talia Ubu. From the Batman the Animated Series.
Right.
That instantly came to mind that Bane was the Ubu.
Yeah, I felt like we've known that for months. We've known that she was Talia
for months. I haven't been doing that.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I just... So I was not totally surprised. If anything, I actually liked watching the movie knowing that and being able to watch those, or suspecting that, and watching her scenes, knowing, oh, okay, she's playing it that way because this is her motivation. Mm-hmm. I kind of like that. The end of the movie, I thought, was great. Just pretty much pitch-perfect last shot. The shot of Joseph Gordon-Levitt, the little tease of what his name is, I thought was perfect. And
I hated that.
That was not a little tease.
I know a lot of people didn't like it. I loved it.
It was so... Ugh.
That's fine. I thought it was fine. I thought it was like...
Can I make a guess? I have not seen the movie, but sure. Can I just guess? Is it Robin? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And it's sort of embarrassing the way it happens. The movie's basically over.
His name is Cyborg.
Yeah.
use my given name.
His name
Cyborg.
Is actually Uatu the Watcher. Yeah. It's a real big twist.
The movie so far, it's like, oh, it's like two hours and 35 minutes been in the theater, and he's like getting his letter.
Flew by.
He's getting his letter, and then he's like, it's under my given name. And then the woman's like, oh, what's that? And then he sort of walks away a little bit, and then he's like, pause. Robin.
No, he doesn't say it.
She says it. Whatever.
He hands him a piece of
paper. But it's so long.
She was like, oh, I like your given name. You should use it.
Yeah, yeah. Robin.
Yeah, right.
It was just so long.
You should use your given name. Like Ambush Bug.
Yeah, they should have just not said it because, like, we get it. You know what I mean?
And then she said, and your family was a family of acrobats that were killed.
Sorry about
that. Well, here's my question for you guys. His name's John Blake in the movie, but his given name is Robin. So what's his actual name? Is it Robin Blake, or is it John Robin Blake, or Robin John Blake, or John Blake Robin?
Let me just say, stop thinking about that.
Yeah. I stood up in the movie theater. I was like, stop the movie. We got to figure this out.
I figured it was John Blake because it sounds just like Tim Drake.
That's what I thought, too. I thought if they were going to reveal that it was Tim Drake.
Actually, Robin is an acronym for robotic organism.
Go for it.
Boy, intelligence, nobody.
Good, that was a win.
Is John Blake a character from anything, or is that just
small appearance.
The only time the name John Blake is used... There was a coloring book where there's a tiny little kid who's being spanked by the Joker for doing badly on his report card, and his name is John Blake.
Oh, yeah.
But that's it.
I think it's exactly where he drew
it. Yeah, that's where Nolan got it.
That was the
scene. Overall, you guys like the movie?
Yeah.
Really?
People go see The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, if you haven't heard about it, go see it, guys.
It rests on your shoulders if America sees the movie.
Yeah, we're the ones. I mean, it's a great movie. I thought Dark Knight was better. And what was better, Avengers or Dark Knight Rises?
Avengers.
Ooh. Oh, shit.
I like Dark Knight Rises more.
Avengers is what we were going to say.
I actually just think it's great that we got both of those
movies.
Shut
the fuck up. I think we're all just friends.
That's it for the Week in Geek! All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia, and for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right, guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up with us. I appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in gift cards to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win? Simply raise your hand. Simply raise... Yes!
Yeah,
you in the
up.
Back, cool shades guy. Come on up.
Do it.
All right. Anytime you're ready.
Nice.
Okay, what is your name, sir?
Dash.
Dash, audience Dash.
Nice.
All right. Today's trivia is on the Great Pacific. So if you were listening at all, you will win this $25 gift card, which I'll put here.
I feel pressure.
Way to tease
it. Yeah, hey. All you had to pay attention to the first part of the show. Here we go. So how this works is I read you a question, you listen to all three possible answers. Go 3 for 3, and you get a gift card. Sorry, I slur because I've been drinking. All right. Here we go. Question number one. Where does the son of the most successful corporation plant his flag to start his own sovereign country? Is it A, a garbage patch, B, a Caribbean island, or is it C, Eternia? So it's either A, a garbage patch, or it's B, Caribbean.
A
is correct.
Nice.
All right, here we go.
Very supportive.
Very supportive. Question number two. This book is based on the true story of, is it A, Exxon Valdez, B, environmental catastrophe currently plaguing the Pacific Ocean, or C, The Dewey Cox Story. Which one is this based on?
A lot of old refs.
A or B? Don't make me read it again.
B.
B is correct.
Big fan of Dewey Cox. Yeah.
Who is not out to get our hero in this book? Is it A, the government? B, mutated marine life? Or is it C, LeVar Burton?
No!
Who is not out to get our hero?
B.
No, C, what? LeVar Burton! You don't win the 25 for... No, I'm kidding. Of course you did.
We've never not given one away.
Just for future. Just for future. LeVar Burton never does wrong.
Okay.
All right.
Wow.
All right. Good job. Joe, do you think you could work LeVar Burton into an upcoming storyline in Great Pacific?
As a supervillain?
Yeah.
Anything's possible. Visor or no?
Visor.
You got to have a visor.
Got it. Just a visor to keep the sun out of his eyes.
Then yes.
So he can fight.
Our mutated marine life with a visor would be a nice little, you know.
Oh, a LeVar Burton nod?
Yeah, a little.
An homage.
Yeah, tip of the visor.
We're one step ahead of you.
Yeah. $20 for the first person who can figure out a Geordie LaForge octopus pun.
An octopus pun?
Why? Yeah. Throwing $20 around? You got it like that?
Yeah, real.
I got so much money. It's crazy. Guys. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they were nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to a very special goon.
Goon number 40.
Number 40. He's 40 years old.
I think he's switching back to a monthly format.
He is. Yeah, I interviewed him at Comic-Con.
How was your caviar and champagne?
It was great. It was just salmon roe, we later found out.
Yeah, you shouldn't talk, Mr. $20.
Yeah, Mr. Big Time $20 over here. Hey. Why don't you go out to a garbage patch and start a society? Because you're a wealthy billionaire.
Maybe I will.
Maybe you should.
Maybe I will.
All right.
With your cereal fortune.
What are you looking forward to?
Me? I don't know. I haven't seen the list yet.
Cool. Because
our guests are greedy.
All right, here, we'll pass this over to Justin while I'm chatting. I'm looking forward to Axe Cop, President of the Earth, number one, is coming out from Dark Horse. If you guys don't know about this book, and I don't know why you don't know about this book, but it's exactly what the title implies, and there's a giant gorilla that Axe Cop is working with that's fighting a giant dinosaur on the cover. So that sounds great.
A lot of giant
stuff. That's everything we could ever
want. Yeah, it's everything you could ever want, and it's very adult. There's no sound effects whatsoever, Liam. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Justin, what are you looking forward to? Any idea yet?
I'm looking forward to...
Kevin Smith,
Extreme
Bionic
X-Men, number one.
Sure. That actually looks interesting. Greg Pak's writing that,
yeah.
I believe, with some dimensional-hopping X-Men.
Yeah. It's like Exiles, if you guys read Exiles back in the day.
Huge fan of that.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, except Dazzler is the leader. So, you know, best book ever.
You had me until Dazzler.
Had me at Dazzler. All right, Liam, what are you looking forward to?
Kevin Smith, Bionic Man. That just has to be as horrifying as the title.
And plug some of your stuff. What are you...
Wow. Stumped him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
No, Kevin Smith, not known for his comic book work.
Yeah, he's done some comic. He's done,
of course.
No, I know he's not known for it. Huh?
What is he known for?
The idea is that
he's a gad about town at this point.
No, he's known for talking for long periods of time. I went to see his panel at Comic-Con, 2 hours long. Somebody asked him a question, was like, "Hey, I was wondering, what's your name?" And then he talked for 15 minutes.
Well,
almost not exaggerating.
Yeah.
Plug some of your stuff, Liam. What should people check out?
I have a movie that will be coming out hopefully in November called Tell Your Friends, the concert film.
And it's great.
Nice.
Alex and I brought it to the Paley Center for Media.
What? In your hands? In your car?
They kicked us out.
It's been at the South by Southwest Film Festival, and it's been at all these screenings, and, you know, it stars Reggie Watts and Kristen Schaal and Kurt Braunohler, who's been a guest on this show, and Christian Finnegan, a bunch of good comedians.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's an all-star cast.
It
seriously is.
Yeah, no.
It is an all-star.
It's okay. Don't look at me.
I feel like it just got weird.
No, yeah, no. Not at all. Bit.
All right, Joe.
I'm rebranding it Kevin Smith's Tell Your Friends, the concert film. But you can look for updates at tellyourfriendsmovie.com.
All right, cool. Very cool.
Nice.
Joe, what are you looking forward to tomorrow?
I think Mind the Gap number two, nice. But I'm going to have to reread number one before I do it. To refresh it. I read it in a
Good mystery from writer Jim McCann.
Yeah,
and the guy who does the art for the covers for Morning Glory, who I'm blanking the name of, is Joe Eisma.
Really right, right.
Yeah, yeah. Eisma.
And I think Manhattan Projects comes out tomorrow. Too.
Yeah. Great book. I've been really loving that book as well.
So good. And plug some of your stuff. What should people check out? You have a lot of stuff coming
out. Well, yeah, well, Firestorm 11 comes out tomorrow as well. I wasn't as looking forward to it as a Mind the Gap and, and Manhattan Projects. That comes out tomorrow also. I don't know. What else? No, that's about it.
What else?
Yeah. Right. Well, you have Great Pacific Great coming Pacific. Out in November.
Right. Great
you
Pacific
have
comes
an
out
Oni
in November.
Series coming out.
Yeah. Well, the new Batman digital imprint,
oh,
Legends
right.
of the Dark Knight, in October. Cool. I'm doing a 3-part story that runs through about a haunting in Arkham Asylum.
Oh, geez.
Which is kind of neat.
That ghost is in trouble.
Yeah, seriously.
Got
Who
him.
Are you going to call?
Yeah. I'd read that. All right, guys, a couple of things before we go. Pete, you want to plug some stuff?
Yeah, friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all of the amazing guests that we have on our show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Yep, you can also check us out at comicbookclublive.com and nerdist.com for the podcast and more. Coming up, just so you guys know, August 9th, we're going to be in Boston doing a one-time-only live show there.
One-time-only. We're never going back.
Yeah. No,
Boston
thank
sucks.
You. But if you are in Boston or know people in the Boston area, you can buy tickets right now at Improv Boston, so head over there. Cool. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Liam for being on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Joe.
Yeah.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every night at 7 p.m. at Fontana's, New York City. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Guys.